And we will begin with word this afternoon of a helicopter crash just outside of Charlotte. We have confirmed that the TV station WBTV in Charlotte has confirmed that it was their helicopter that crashed. And two people who are aboard are confirmed dead. That's chopper pilot Chip Tayag and meteorologist Jason Myers. And this is a developing story as this accident just happened this afternoon. That helicopter crashed just off of I-77 south of Charlotte. Back in Chapel Hill earlier this afternoon, we had a power outage that affected about 2,000 customers on the southeast side of town. The power has been restored for that now. We did have some traffic delays due to that power outage, but those appear to have been cleared up on North Carolina 54 and Farrington Road as well. Monday marked the anniversary of a tragedy in the Chapel Hill community. 22-year-old James Cates Jr. was murdered on UNC's campus in 1970, and that marked the start of decades of efforts from black residents to remember him and to call for justice. This year was slightly different. While his murder still goes unresolved, UNC unveiled a historical marker memorializing Cates and taking a step toward reckoning with a local history of racial injustice. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more.
Welcome to the dedication of the James Lewis Cates Jr. Memorial here at the University of North Carolina.
UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz called hundreds of people gathered around the pit to order on Monday evening. The high traffic area of UNC's campus had a new feature, a sleek black plaque describing what happened to James Lewis Cates Jr. Not far from that marker, 52 years prior, Cates was stabbed outside the Carolina Student Union, where an all-night dance promoting racial integration was being held. Members of the Stormtroopers motorcycle gang, who had ties to white supremacy, attacked Cates and knifed him twice. The 22-year-old Chapel Hill resident was left on the ground and ultimately died from his injuries after a lack of medical attention. Guskowitz read the dedication, which ends with,
"Our community dedicates this memorial in honor of James Cates, whose life has not been and will not be forgotten."
UNC's Board of Trustees approved the marker to honor Cates earlier this year, but the university lacked a broader effort to recognize the Chapel Hill resident until recently. Historical reports reflect how UNC leadership in 1970 largely disregarded accounts from black residents about Cates' murder during an internal review. Efforts to recognize Cates by student-run groups or community members with their own memorials were met with inaction or removal of those markers. Danita Mason Hogans, a Chapel Hill native and local civil rights historian, has served on the town's James Cates Remembrance Coalition. On Monday, she said she was encouraged to see collaboration between the university, local government, and Cates family come to fruition after so many years.
"And I really hope that it's a pivot and a nod to having to really understand where we come from as this community, what really has transpired here, and start on the reparative path towards reconciliation. And we all want reconciliation, but until we have truth, there can be no reconciliation. So this is an acknowledgement of the truth. So for that, I'm very grateful."
While the memory and story of Cates may have faded over the decades for some UNC community members, Mason Hogans said many black Chapel Hill residents passed on the injustice done against the man nicknamed Baby Boy.
"The black women who mourned for him during that time, they're the ones, along with the rest of the community, who has kept Mr. Cates' memory in mind."
UNC student body president Talijah Van said once she learned about Cates' murder and his family's efforts for recognition, she couldn't help but think of the 22-year-old whenever she visited where he died.
"I don't know how to describe the sadness that you feel walking through the pit before this time and knowing what happened and knowing that there is no memorial, there is no marker, there is no conversation about it publicly because our university has chosen not to value the history in that way, to not be honest and accountable in that way. It's really heartbreaking."
The student body president said she believes UNC and the town of Chapel Hill are obligated to collaborate and recognize the full, diverse history the institutions hold. By doing so with the memorial marker, Van said the groups are shouldering some of the responsibility of telling Cates' tragic story to many more people who ought to know, including UNC's black community.
now, amongst all the things that this memorial does, it will be an opportunity for Black students to get what they deserve, which is access to their history, that they don't have to go dig through a book that was put out 50 years ago, an article 50 years ago, to be able to understand. You don't have to only get the benefit of knowing what happened because someone else passed that information along to you.
Valerie Fouché, a Chapel Hill native and U.S. representative-elect for the district, delivered remarks representing the Cates family on Monday. She said the group is grateful for the insurance the tragedy is cemented in UNC and Chapel Hill's local history. She also said it could be a turning point for the university as it continues to grapple with equity and inclusion, both historically and currently.
We in this moment have the ability to begin to shape and determine what this community can be. This memorial can inform and influence how we unify as a community around a common goal of acceptance and inclusivity, a beloved community where all are respected and welcomed.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. It was a bit of a scramble this morning for some CHCCS families as six bus routes were canceled. Cancellation affected students at 12 different schools. Families were asked to find alternate transportation, and the district would provide transportation to those who couldn't find other options. All of the bus routes are expected to be or have taken place this afternoon. This is not an isolated problem to CHCCS. Durham Public Schools canceled 24 routes today, and this is all part of a national shortage of bus drivers for both schools and public transit systems. As we look to the new year, housing continues to be a critical issue in our community, with far more demand than supply, especially in affordable housing for middle and lower income residents. But local officials say the coming months will bring several big projects that could help ease that strain. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger spoke with me last week about...
...housing projects to get through our review process, and then we awarded a lot of money out to various affordable housing providers so that projects including Habitat Weaver's Grove and the Homestead Gardens and the Peach Apartments, which are all shovel ready to go, get out of the ground and get going. We're working really hard to put our town's values into action, and we are committed to doing so. And we've made some really good progress in affordable housing and rehabbing existing housing.
When are we likely to see construction actually start? And what kind of timeline are we looking before folks can be moving into those places?
So first up, CASA is supposed to open in January. They already were awarded a LIHTC grant, and they're opening up in January is the plan. And that would be great for, I think it's 48 individual units there, half in Chapel Hill, half in Carrboro. The Peach Apartments wants to break ground this summer. Weaver's Grove has broken ground and been putting in their infrastructure, and they're ready to start building and like within a couple of months. Homestead Gardens was waiting to find out if they got these monies because we came up short as prices were increasing. So they're ready to go. The plans are drawn up. So they're ready to break ground in 23 coming up. And then we're hoping that some CDBG monies can go to Hope Renovations and St. Paul's Amy, both groups that apply for different pots of money. And we could only go so far. We did use some of our reserve money to help out with this and the bond monies and the ARPA funding. So we're excited about getting as many units out of the ground as possible as quickly as we can.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger speaking there. In state news, Governor Cooper was in D.C. yesterday, we told you, as part of the ceremony to pardon the national turkeys. Well, this afternoon, he pardoned the state turkeys as well, and presumably, that's the last of the turkey pardoning of the season for the governor. You can visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more local news, including the updated list of buildings testing positive for lead on UNC's campus. Time now for sports, and we've got some sports action that happened last night. That was the UNC hockey team taking the Governor's Cup at PNC Arena. They beat NC State 4-2 in that matchup. Also looking to some upcoming matchups for UNC athletes. UNC is in the quarterfinals for women's soccer in the NCAA tournament. They will head to South Bend this weekend to face Notre Dame. That game will be Saturday at 6 o'clock. Winner goes on to the Final Four to play for the College Cup in Cary. Meanwhile, junior midfielder Avery Patterson was named to College Soccer News National Team of the Week. Congratulations to her. In football, Josh Downs was named as one of 12 semifinalists for the Biletnikoff Award, which goes to the nation's top wide receiver. And defensive lineman Kamen Rucker was named a 3M STEM Scholar Athlete by the Military Bowl. They recognize one player from each ACC school who excels academically in a STEM field. Rucker is a psychology major who plans to pursue a career in sports psychology. Got some other action from over the weekend. The UNC Club Pickleball team won the national title in mixed doubles at the Collegiate National Championships in Dripping Springs, Texas. In case you're wondering, Dripping Springs, Texas is just outside of Austin, calls itself the gateway to Texas Hill Country. Also, who knew UNC had a club pickleball team with a national championship tournament, no less? But of course they do, right? We'll keep an eye on them going forward. Looking to basketball now, where it's so far so good for both UNC teams. The women went up 5 spots in the rankings all the way to number 8 in the AP poll. That is their highest ranking since December 2014. The men's team stays at number 1. Joining them in the top 10 from the ACC are number 5 Virginia and number 8 Duke. UNC men's team is participating in the Phil Knight Invitational this week out in Portland, Oregon. Also in that event is Villanova. They both win their first games. They will be matched up in the second round of that, and that will be the first time they've played since the heartbreaking national championship game in 2016. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe talked to several UNC figures who were at that game as part of an oral history he's putting together. You can find that oral history on chapelboro.com. But now we'll listen to Pat James, who reported on the game for the Daily Tar Heel. He described the UNC locker room after the buzzer-beating loss to the Wildcats.
Being around so many different losing locker rooms and stuff like that over the years, I mean, you think you can prepare for it in some sense, just kind of what you're going to see and things like that. But, you know, it's honestly, like, it really is incomparable to anything else that I've been around where, you know, the lifelessness that was kind of throughout it, you know, it was, you could feel it. And, like, just, you know, I can remember, you know, the coaches, you know, Hubert Davis and all of them kind of sitting over there off of the corner. I mean, they were shocked as well and just kind of emotionless. I don't know. It was so tough just kind of going through that, you know, and be able to talk to these guys about, you know, obviously what was, you know, such a tough, you know, moment for them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what ended up getting harder was when, you know, Marcus and Bryce got in there. You know, Bryce, I mean, he was pretty shut down and just, I mean, he couldn't even really just muster any words at all. And then Marcus, I mean, that was kind of, I mean, listening to him talk about it, I mean, that was where it really kind of hit me a little bit. You know, for me, like, it was something where, you know, I grew up around UNC basketball my entire life. But once I started working for the DTH, it was something that, you know, I really, like, separated the fan aspect from it, like, pretty easily. Like, it's not something that I really, you know, cared about. I was able to be, you know, unbiased and things like that rather easily. But I do remember, you know, sitting there and just, you know, listening to Marcus talk and everything. Like, that got me.
Once again, you can find Michael Coe's full oral history project featuring Pat James that you just heard and many other voices by going to our sports section at chapelboro.com. One more basketball reminder, the Hubert Davis Live begins in just over a week, Monday, December 5th. And you can hear it right here on 97.9 The Hill, of course.